listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Fucked up morning to all of you. It is a Friday morning. Manu is here and she sees that I'm getting really irritated. So it's not a great morning, but I hope you have one.
You need to download Firefox. That's all I need
to say.
No,
that's just not it. It's everything, you know. It's always down to the computer, and the computer always beats me. Always. So
I think everyone encounters that.
Yeah, I know. Techno stress.
We are ruled by technology these days.
Yeah, and the computer does whatever it wants, and it's like, fuck Sam, fuck the fact that it's 9 o'clock and we have to go on the air. I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we end up with a shitty song for the beginning. I don't have the bumpers, and I'm just like, you know, struggling here.
I saw that. Everybody say poor Sam.
Oh. Manu, so you're here. You're in one piece.
I am.
You got your coffee.
Yeah, my everything. Second one.
Yeah.
Plus the tea and the orange juice I had earlier on. It's like today was a struggle for me to get up.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I actually got a little more sleep. I got 6 hours instead of five. Still couldn't get up.
No, seriously, I was like, oh my God, I just want to go back into bed. Yeah. And I didn't wake up before my alarm.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh. No.
Okay, and we were just talking about that.
That annoys me, yeah.
Why?
Well, the fact that I was actually going back into a dream, uh-huh. And then the alarm goes off, I'm like, God damn it.
I know, don't you hate when that happens?
I want to dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me dream. But anyway, yeah. No, I got up. But again, it was like I press it and I'm up out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I mean, I need 2 hours to prepare. Well, I work for an hour in the morning, then an hour to get ready and stuff. So, yeah, my mornings are pretty busy. They start early.
Wow.
And the day ends late, as we all know. I wanted to make a couple of announcements. First of all, for the TJ fans, TJ McCormick fans, he's not going to be here today or Monday. He's got some business to take care of. So we're going to have replays of his show.
Cool.
So for those of you who missed some of TJ's, he's been doing some great radio lately. And it's fun. It's fun to listen to him. He's very funny. So that's TJ at 12 o'clock today. It's a replay. We're going to have Dr. Michelle at 11.
And, today?
Yeah. And I always look forward to her coming in because she's good.
She's the relationship therapist, right?
Well, she's a psychologist.
Psychologist. Yeah. You know, but...
But obviously psychology is a lot about
psychologist, family relationship psychologist, right?
Yeah. She talked about teens last week. And
yeah.
This week she's talking about... more like spirituality and stuff, I guess. So
wow.
That's kind of nice to marry psychology and spirituality at the same time.
She's only on for an hour because I'm actually wanting to, you know, my gosh, you know, if it was my day off, uh-huh. I would have wanted to call in and talk to her about my own family situation back home. Like, what really is a, you know, a good way to, I don't know, ease things up?
Yeah. Well, on the Fridays that you have free, you can stay here and be our guest. She comes up. She comes on right after us.
Yeah.
So you can be a guest or you can call in. I mean,
yeah.
Who cares? You
know? Probably next Friday.
Okay.
Next Friday I can do it. Yeah. I'll hang in there for that long. Hey, and then I did get an email from my sister. Uh-huh. She is, her and her husband may be coming out here.
Oh, wow.
Now, check this out.
Now, she's in Australia?
Yeah, she's in Australia, her and her husband.
Right.
Now, the odd thing is she doesn't know when she's going to come out.
Right.
But I do know that my mother is coming out.
Right.
In June. For like 8 weeks,
eight fucking weeks. There's no way,
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
After you guys have not seen each other for that long.
I know. But you know what? This could be a good chance to really, you know, like work things out.
Well, I really hope so. And I wish that on you and your mom.
I've already emailed her. It's like, you know, this could be our chance to, you know, like really figure things out. Why this? Why that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe you guys can go to therapy together or something, have someone in between. It helps a lot when there's a third person, you know, because I'm sure both of you have a lot of resentment at this point and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? So you're going to have to, because all that's going to happen is you guys will start talking about it and all the shit's going to come up to the surface again, you know?
Yeah, it probably will. You know what? Not probably.
Yeah.
I already know it will.
For sure. So what I would do is I would prepare a therapist, maybe start going before your mom gets here, set up the situation, and then you know, and then take her, or if she's not willing to go, at least you need to go to learn how to deal with it.
I think my mother would go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think my mother would go. But what I'm afraid of is my sister is not quite sure when she might be coming over.
Mm-hmm.
My God, if she comes over when my mom's here.
Wow.
Is this like, I'm too scared to even let my family know that my mother is coming over.
Because it is such
a huge tension,
mm-hmm.
you know, about everything.
Yeah.
That I could be.
So all of your siblings have a problem with you.
Every single one of us.
Wow.
Well, I mean, my oldest brother sees her, and my youngest brother sees her, but when it comes to my sister and the other brother, they don't want nothing to do with her, and so on. They've never had anything to do with her. Neither had I for the longest time.
Right.
And it wasn't until like maybe about four years ago maybe that there was kind of like some sort of contact starting to happen. But it's never been phone calls. It's just been like very brief emails.
But how can they stay mad all these years? I mean, you think you move on.
You tell me. This is the question I want answered.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How can, I mean, but it's just not against my mother, it's my father too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My father's pissed at my youngest brother and the oldest brother for, you know, being associated with my mother.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, my other brother, mm-hmm. who doesn't want anything to do with my mother, now doesn't want anything to do with dad.
Really?
And won't allow his granddaughters or his granddaughters. Basically, he has told his girls, his three daughters, your grandmother is dead and so is your grandfather.
Wow.
I don't want to hear their names. I don't want you going to see them or anything like that. And that's fucking sad.
That's terrible, man. That's really terrible.
So then, you know what I mean? I'm like a little peeved. I just can't understand how. And it's a very, very small community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, understand.
I told you that my father had walked through town past his granddaughter, mm-hmm. didn't even recognize her until it was way too late. Like, oh, shit, that was Alicia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Man, you guys need some major therapy, all the family. But
I don't want anyone to die or pass on or something really horrible happen without making amends or
exactly.
at least knowing, for God's sake, come on.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, life rushes by. You're missing out on all this time with your family that you could have had a blast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, family is family, you know. I mean, it can be a great source of pleasure if you know how to treat it.
Yeah.
And how to behave. You know, but many, many families are just, they don't have the foundation, I guess, to make up.
No.
And move on.
Well, you know.
But to be stuck in that resentment, in that, I wouldn't say hatred, but anger, it's very unhealthy.
It is.
Very unhealthy.
I mean, how can you possibly go through life like that? I don't know. But.
And I feel for your mom, you know. I mean, you know, I'm sure she had a justification for what she did when she did it. Or even if it was a stupid decision, you don't just, like, push someone out of your life forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they, I don't know. I mean, it depends. I can't judge people. I can't judge whether they're right or not.
Yeah.
But all I can tell you, Manu, is 8 weeks here, I don't know, even if you guys loved each other and got along, 8 weeks is too long. You know, guests are like fish. After a few days, they start to smell, you know. And then they have to go.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, how how much can you be with the same person?
And then,
and when they come here, they depend on you for entertainment, for everything.
Yeah.
So it's like carrying them on your shoulders, on your back.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, why I decided just to disappear out of, you know, like even within a couple of hundred kilometers away from my family.
Yeah.
Because of the stress that was, like, I felt like I was carrying everybody on my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was the in-between person. And I was tired of trying to be the peacekeeper or the fixer-upper or, yeah. you know what I mean, that kind of thing. And I was like, I can't deal with this because it's distracting me.
Yeah.
And when I was going through therapy in Sydney, she said that she was the one that told me, you have to cut those ties. If it's your family that's creating this turmoil and is not being supportive or anything like that, you don't need to deal with it right now.
Right.
You know, and yeah. And that's when I'm like, well, okay. So I completely cut off everything.
Yeah.
And then of course, yeah. I got up, left, went to America, came here to America. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell nobody.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's the human condition. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know.
Next thing they heard, I was in America and, you know, some stuff had happened.
Uh-huh.
You know. Oh, well.
Yeah. Did you get to see a picture of the new hooker that surfaced for Spitzer?
No.
No?
Where do I find her?
Go to nypost.com. And she's got some big fucking tits, man. Her face is not that great at all. And in fact, she's got a lot of makeup on, so it makes her look half presentable. But it's not a great face, I don't think. You know?
And, I'll give you my take on it soon.
Yeah, you will, huh?
Oh, okay. My God! Are you serious? Oh, she's nasty.
Yeah.
She looks like a freaking...
What?
tranny. She looks like a transvestite.
Yeah, kinda, huh? The face does.
Holy
I know,
cow.
But she's got some boobs on her. So,
wow.
Yeah. There was a riot in a prison in Texas yesterday, and
30 prisoners got stabbed.
Yeah, they got stabbed, you know. And, I mean, just imagine being in fucking prison, you know. I mean, it's like bad enough as it is. And, you know, you have your freedom taken away. You don't have shit. And then you have to deal with all these fucking bastards that are there that are trying to kill you.
I know.
And, I mean, it's just so freaking scary, the thought of prison, you know. It's enough to keep you as a decent citizen, not do any shit that's, you know.
Well, some people just don't learn.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the story about, speaking of prisons, mm-hmm. did you hear the stories in Oklahoma, the prison up in Oklahoma? I can't remember the name of the prison. But apparently they didn't even have enough money, right, the Oklahoma prison, okay? Uh-huh. They didn't even have enough money to get a lock for the prison door. I'm not kidding. So constantly there was something like there's this paper that comes out in Oklahoma, in a part of Oklahoma.
Right.
It's 4 pages and you have to pay $1.50 for these 4 fucking pages. All right. So anyways, almost every single day or week or whatever, there'd be some sort of escape from the Oklahoma prison.
Duh,
right? Because it has no freaking lock. It got so bad that even the college, the school or something like that, then tried to create like a donation to get a lock for the prison.
So they can be safe, huh?
Right? And then they raised like $10 and something cents, right?
and
gave it to the prison to buy a fucking lock, a padlock.
Are you kidding me? A padlock for the prison?
Kidding.
That's
got to
be a town with 50 people or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's so pathetic, apparently.
A padlock for a prison.
And so whenever they have an escape, pretty much what the police do is they just go to the spouses or the next of kin or, you know, the dad or the mama, more like it, right?
Uh-huh.
And or their ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or so on, and then they usually find them again.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like they're institutionalized in a prison, but they remain institutionalized in the area.
Yeah.
They don't go anywhere. It's not like escaping, you know, like I'm going to a different city or going to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just stay in the same Oklahoma town.
I don't know
town.
What the fuck kind of prison that is. But all I can tell you, man, and it's like, and think of like solitary confinement in prison.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is there anything worse than that, you know? Just being with four walls and nothing else and dark. Oh, man, you know, how do people end up like that, you know? It's just so terrible.
I don't
you know?
Think it would be nice.
But I think if I went to prison, I'd be killed in one day. You know, I mean, I would probably fight and shit, but then I would ask, what for, you know? I mean, what? To do that fighting every day, to defend yourself and shit, you know, I mean, come on. So, prison is definitely not a place you want to end up in.
No.
You know? And
God, she's ugly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're talking about that hooker.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Well, Spitzer liked her, I guess. I'm telling you, you know, a man sees a pair of boobs like that, and all logic is out the window.
The funny thing is they almost look real.
I know. They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those pictures are circulating all over the internet. You can see them at the New York Post front page. You can see them just about anywhere. And, I don't know. What's her name? Do they mention her name there?
No, not at all.
Yeah. There's something here. They're talking about different ones.
I think they're like...
Jessica Cutler.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well.
So, I'm sure she's going to be famous too. But we somehow don't hear from the first hooker that much. I would think by now she'd be like all over the place.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really follow up on TV or anything like that, so I don't know yet.
No, but you would know. I mean, if there was news about her, you would know.
Do you watch E! Entertainment or something like that?
No, I don't watch anything.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it's all over there. I mean, I don't see the news telecasting anything. It would be more like E! Entertainment or Access, Hollywood Access or something
Access
like that.
Access Hollywood.
Access, yeah, that
right.
one there.
Yeah, that one there.
Or maybe TMZ. No, actually even TMZ wouldn't even cover it because they don't have the inside scoop.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, TMZ is usually just about what celebrities do on
the
streets.
What's going on,
It's not that much about anything else. But apparently, Dennis Quaid is thinking of suing Cedars-Sinai Hospital because there was a big fuck-up with his twins.
He
just had twins, and I guess they fucked up something. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there. But, I mean, can you imagine? It's like you're waiting for a baby. It's been your life's dream, and then you get
twins.
This is
his first children.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what happened there, but I mean, for someone
his twins were sick or something like that, and he took them to Cedars-Sinai, and the doctor had given them injections, both the twins' injections, right? And then, I think he went. Maybe they weren't sick, but I think after the injections, the twins did get very, very sick. Almost, almost killed them.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it was apparently they had given too much of the injection to the twins.
That's terrible, man.
Terrible. How can you fuck up like that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, these are babies.
Yeah.
They're newborn babies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd be really pissed. You know, beyond pissed.
Beyond.
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. What a beautiful day outside. The sun's shining. 78 degrees.
Smog.
But it's good. Are you ready for the weekend, Manu?
I am so ready. It's not funny.
Yeah.
I just want this. Because you remember last weekend I didn't have. Because I worked.
That's right. You worked the whole weekend.
So it's just like I've been working 2 weeks straight now.
Yeah. Wow. How can you do that?
I don't
know. Crazy.
That's why I'm so excited about today.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Just one more day of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So you're off this weekend.
I am off this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Oh. And I'm off Monday.
Oh.
I do that too. That's my dad there. That's really? My dad straight up. Like, oh, oh, oh.
Like, let me be heard.
But I have Monday off as well, which
really?
Is really awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you. You know, I keep walking in those hallways and you see all these people sitting in front of their computers. It's the same position every day for 9 hours and they don't move. And every day they're in front of the computer like robots. And I'm wondering, Manu, how can a person do this? How can you sit in
I
one place for 9 hours, sit in the same position, do the same thing?
You notice the office next door to us is like a desk and a desk, right? One behind the other.
Right.
It's all been set up and so on.
Uh-huh.
So you got one dude looking in the back of the head of another dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there's other offices that it's just
Many of them, and they're sitting in the inside offices. They don't have a window.
No.
And they sit there 4 or 5 people in a really small office.
Yeah.
You know, and my God, it's just like, how can you? I mean, I'm just like, I'm so happy and feel so blessed that we're able to do what we're doing.
Look, we look at each other's thuggy faces. And
there you go.
And we smile.
And we talk shit. And, and we
you
have
can't
fun.
Beat that.
No, you can't beat that. You know, talk shit for 2 hours. Then go about your day, you know.
Yeah, we're going to talk shit again later on in the show.
Yeah. But I just don't see how people can do that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of the people do the same thing every day. Every day do the same thing.
Oh, we know. That's how this country runs.
And, you know, I mean, if it's something you love, it's one thing. But you just sit in a fucking dark office and stare at the computer and not talk to anybody and shit. It's just like, I mean, they're really like robots.
Have you ever noticed the Asian woman that works in the office down the... And seriously, her back is
to the door. Yes.
And she's got the computer in front of her. And it seems like she's always looking at emails or something like that.
That's probably her job.
And
just communicate all the time.
Probably. But the thing is like she doesn't do anything else but that. And the same position, everything.
Wow.
And she just stays in the computer with the back. If I was her... I'd be turning the goddamn desk around, so,
she
I mean, because
outside.
You can at least see something,
you can see some people walking by or something, I know.
Yeah.
But she's probably not the one who decorated the office, you know. She just works there. That's the thing, you know, it's like I was thinking about this morning, about how when I worked at jobs, you know, you come in and you have to take whatever they give you, you know. It's like, here's this desk, here's this computer, just work and do your shit, you know. And my life's been transformed, you know. I mean, it's just like...
Well, when I've done office management, you know, like behind a desk and so on, there's been a couple of offices that there's absolute no outside reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, seriously...
I know, you're totally cut off from everything.
Completely cut off. You have no idea. Yeah. And you walk outside the building and, oh my God, it's still daylight. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did drive me nuts.
Really?
Another job... I could see the outside, and I'm just like staring at it, like, I want to be outside. I mean, it just drove me nuts.
I know.
And then, you know what the worst is? Okay. And I don't know if anyone's really, really noticed this before. But if you go into inside the casinos, have you ever noticed that you cannot see outside?
Yeah, you don't see the daylight because they don't want you to have a sense of time, right? No
clocks.
Exactly. No clocks.
No clocks. Yeah. No daylight. And I'm serious. Even us dealers, right? We come in. We will not see the day of light.
Yeah. You see, I couldn't do that. Yeah. That's why I need, you know, that's why I got us the studio here with a huge window. We can look everywhere because I would go crazy if I couldn't see daylight.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
But you're right. That's what the casinos are doing. So you won't have any sense of time.
Sense of time.
And you're just going to gamble away and leave all your money there.
Exactly.
And make Vegas even richer so you can go back there again.
Yeah. There's no beating the system, people.
No,
come on.
No. I don't
I know.
That.
I dealt in the casino too many years. I know better. I put $20 across that damn table just for fun. I lost it within a couple of seconds.
Really?
And I'm a professional dealer.
You're right. Yeah. Fuck that shit, man. You go in a casino, you're going to lose in the long run. And you know why that is? It's because you have a limited amount of money. The casino has an unlimited amount of money. So they can stay in the game for as long as they want until they win. But yeah, with you, exactly. It's like you got to get up and leave once you are out of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's their advantage there.
Even that dude that was betting $25,000 a hand one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
This guy, I was like, I'm looking at it. He's making three separate bets of $25,000, wow. Right? Because the maximum play was $25,000 on the table.
Yeah.
Right? $25,000, $25,000, $25,000. He kept the lost one round. He lost the second round. He lost the fucking third round. And I'm looking at it going like, that could have paid off my fucking house. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I'm like, I can't believe you just lost all that shit.
Yeah, and that's what ticks me off, you know, is that, I mean, when
he got ticked off. He got ticked off at me. Because if you weren't so beautiful, I would have been really, really pissed right now.
Really?
I was like...
Oh, so, yeah, the people blame the dealer for losing,
course.
Right?
Of course. Yeah. You know.
Well, but they also tip you when they're winning, so, you know.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. You know?
Oh, I've been tipped very well, too. But unfortunately, you don't get to keep it. You have to share it with all your, with the rest of the people.
I know.
Who are just watching you making the money, like, oh, yeah, Manu's making us money. Yeah, we don't have to do shit now.
I know.
I've felt that before.
Yeah, I don't know what makes more sense because, you know, I think you should be able to keep it because tip is based on the service you receive, you know? I mean, if somebody just sits there and being an asshole to all the customers,
I know.
They don't make a penny in tips.
And believe me, there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them in Vegas.
And then they take yours. You know, they take your tips.
There's plenty of them in Vegas.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, those fuckers get the hell out. Because, I mean, the reason why we don't keep our own tips, once upon a time it did happen, right?
Right.
But what they were finding was that the dealers who made the best money would tip out the pit bosses to ensure that they got the best tables, the higher limit tables, and so on. So it created like a favoritism thing.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you were the favorite dealer, then you would be placed on a table where there's big betting.
Yeah.
And so that you would be able to keep all the money.
Exactly. Yeah.
As long as you tip out the pit boss and of course your supervisor.
Yeah.
So to stop that favoritism, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They decided, okay, everyone has to pool their tips now.
Yeah.
And
so you're telling me that the pit bosses and the supervisors also get tips?
No, they're not allowed to.
Right.
But back in the day, that's what used to happen.
Oh.
You know, people used to keep their own tips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen anymore.
No, you don't get to keep your own tips. And that sucks, you know. I mean, you know, but the whole thing about tipping really tips me off.
Yeah.
It ticks me off because, you know, the thing is it's become so fucking expected. It's like part of the bill, you know. But the thing is that tips started as a gesture to reward someone who gave you good service. That went beyond, you know, because the thing is this.
Now
is that
it's
you're
insane.
You're already getting paid for doing your job.
Yeah.
So if you want a tip, you need to go beyond what your job calls for.
Right.
But, you know, for people to expect tips from you and, you know, and not working for it is bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
But
you know
what else
and
is bullshit?
And I hate the whole concept of tips.
This is something else that drives me crazy. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Food these days and in restaurants and so on are getting even more expensive every freaking time.
Right.
Now you're paying for a sandwich, for God's sake, or a burger between $8 and $12 and so on.
Yeah.
And ridiculous. Then you're expected to tip on top of that.
Yeah.
Okay, good example. I went to this sandwich bar. The sandwich, which I may add, was very, very good. But it was just a simple turkey sandwich on rye toast and a little side salad along with on the plate as well.
Yeah.
Now that meal alone cost me almost $9.
Yeah.
Then on top
of
and then
it doesn't cost them fucking 25 cents to make that sandwich.
And then on top of that I get a drink, you know, which was $2.50.
Right.
Right. A lemonade. And then on top of that, so what's that right now? Say $11.50.
Okay.
Then on top of that, you're tipping.
Right.
Right? So that's another $4. $3 or $4.
Yeah.
It becomes an almost $20 goddamn sandwich.
Yeah.
when you think of it that
way.
Well,
why the fuck did you eat a sandwich that's so expensive?
That's what you're encountering now.
Yeah,
but in a lot of little bars and restaurants. But even when you go to a sandwich bar, most sandwiches that you're going to buy these days are around $4.50, $5.50, $6.
Right.
And you still have to tip. Yeah. So your sandwich still almost becomes a $10 goddamn sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it's crazy to eat out, you know. Plus, I'm tired of all that food. You know, I'd rather eat at home any day.
Me too.
You know, I'm so sick and tired of all this food. I mean, they make it to taste good and it tastes great, but it's so bad for you.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't get any fucking nutrition from the food we eat.
No, not these days, because everything's all processed.
Yeah. So I'll take a home-cooked meal any day.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I eat a little bit at work, but for the most part, all I'm eating is a couple of pieces of toast,
right,
because I'd rather eat at home.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily eat at work.
Yeah.
We're entitled to a free meal at work.
Really? And you don't eat there?
Anything that we want from the menu, we can have.
And you don't eat?
No. Why? I mean, I have, you know, when I'm like really starving and so on, but...
Just take some when you go home. Take it with you.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you're entitled to it. What the hell, you know?
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah, but I'm not one to purchase food and let it go all soggy or
I know,
cold
I don't like
or
to
something
take,
like that.
Go,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like to go food either.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Except if it's pizza, which I have maybe once every 6 months. Mm. I don't,
No, I mean, even pizza, you know, I mean, if it gets cold, forget about it.
Oh,
I don't enjoy it, you know. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, even hamburgers or french fries, whatever, you got to eat it when it's hot, you know, when it comes out, because it does get soggy, like you said, you know. And salads get soggy. And,
ew.
Yeah. You know what I hate is those sandwiches, those pre-wrapped sandwiches that you can get at Starbucks or at those convenience stores and stuff. These sandwiches cost like $6-7.
Yes,
and they
I
taste
know.
Like fucking paper.
At a freaking coffee shop.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it.
Yeah, you know,
you're still paying
understand.
$6 out of your ass.
Yeah, and the sandwich is made like on a fucking conveyor belt or something. And they taste like shit. They have no flavor at all.
No, they don't.
And I don't see how people can buy them. I mean, I made the mistake once and that was it. I'd rather go hungry than eat that shit, spend $6 for it.
Me too. I'm the same way, Sam. You and I got the same mind on that
one. I guess we do.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have the same mind in taking a little break. And
for everything that matters.
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They can be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that does.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hard after wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on BBS Talk Radio.
Yeah, Manu, my dick gets hard when the wind blows too.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't take much for me.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. You know, yesterday I have one pair of jeans that's like pretty tight. I don't know how it ended up that way. And
maybe you put on weight.
Yeah, and I'm aroused all the time because it like, you know, there's not enough room for my member, so it kind of like rubs against the fabric all the time. So walking around with a semi-hard on all day.
You know, all that is, it makes women look like, ew, he's well endowed.
Oh yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Look at that package.
I know.
You know, I never thought that women actually look at that. But
no, we do.
But the other day, I went and got a sandwich, like, down the street. And as I'm walking back, there's a few women sitting there outside a hair salon. Just having cigarettes and talking and stuff. And I'm walking by, and this chick is, like, not even looking in my eyes. She's looking right at my package as I'm walking by. And I'm going, wow, you know.
There you go.
I never saw women actually check it out, you know, so.
No, no, no. I was checking out William's package before I... I was like,
Package, right. package.
It's all about the package,
it's
darlings.
All about the package, yeah.
So, anyways, I'm on this a website that I found in... I don't know what to think of this one. And In World War II, a German submarine sank because of a malfunctioning toilet.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Like, well, what the hell happened?
Well, on a submarine, anything can happen, I suppose, you know? My God. Can you imagine being on a submarine? I mean, inside one for, like, weeks on end?
Oh, no. Oh,
no. It takes special people to be able to do that.
I was down in a submarine for 2 days. That was enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just like, you know, like a familiarity kind of exercise.
Right.
Just to see what it was like or how things operated and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 days, I was so ready to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, you know, I mean, normally we only see submarines in movies, you know, but I actually went, you know, where the Queen Mary is in Long Beach.
Oh, and they have the submarine there?
They used to have a submarine, a Russian one. Like an old Russian submarine.
Really? Oh.
So we went in there, and my God, it's so cramped in there. I don't know how people can live like that, you know?
And it smells. I can tell you, it smells of the oil, and it's, you know, I mean, it's just like, oh my God, I would never want to be a submarine.
I know. Like,
in a submarine.
Who does? You know, I mean, what makes a person want to be in a submarine? You know? I mean, if you love the ocean, the sea, that's still not, I mean, you don't feel anything.
It's still not there, yeah.
Yeah, you're just surrounded. What is this?
I don't know.
It's popping here?
I don't know.
Maybe it's too high, I don't know. But it's pretty...
It'd be scary.
Yeah.
To me, I think, like, I must have thought every 3 seconds, 3 minutes, I don't know. It's like, oh my God, what happens if something happens? Oh my God.
And you're surrounded by a few tons of water.
Yeah, you know, you're dead. You're gone.
Putting pressure on there.
You are gone. Yeah. You are screwed.
I know.
No chance for survival.
And, you know, I mean, if you've seen in movies, submarines are pretty vulnerable too, you know, because, I mean, you can attack them from above and from underneath and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And if they go under, like where there's ice and stuff, they can't come up, you know, and all that stuff, you know? So I guess I've been watching too many submarine movies, but it's an unusual thing.
I think the best submarine movie I've ever watched was Red October.
Yeah, that one was pretty good, yes.
That was pretty damn good.
That was a good
one. That was a Tom Clancy novel too, wasn't it? I think so. I think
that
so.
That is a Tom Clancy novel.
Red October.
Yeah.
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 You know, he was under investigation, you know, by the CIA, FBI, whatever, because his information that he writes, or, you know, the technical,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff, had to have come from, I mean, it's so accurate that it actually comes from, you know, people who have this knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
I think it was you that told me that.
He doesn't write.
But he has a crew of people, right, you know, with all this.
Yeah,
you know,
just like any business, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes up with the idea, they write the chapters and stuff. And he's big. And I've heard that before, you know. I mean, he's very accurate with his information, you know. So you would think that it'd be kind of a threat for national security or something if he reveals too much.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
If you want to know a little bit about
Tom Clancy, but he's written a lot of books.
Hey, is he still alive?
Oh yeah.
Do you think
his books are just too long for my taste?
Yeah, they are, and they're very small writing. Forget that.
Exactly. Yeah, give me like big letters.
Yeah. I can barely see the computer letters, let alone a book. But I mean, I have read a few books. I mean, like books that have gotten me and like, oh, wow, this is really awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. There's. I've read so many books. I mean, my shelves are full of books. And I still, many of them, when I got divorced, they were sold, whatever, they disappeared, you know. I had some great comic books. I was taking care of them, putting them in plastic bags and everything. All gone. I don't know where the hell what my ex-wife did with it or anything, but that would have been great for my kids, you know.
Yeah, it would have been.
And
she didn't burn the car either, did she?
No, she didn't burn the car, but she sold a lot of my shit.
Was it, my God, what was that? I can't remember that movie, but... She got pissed that her husband was having an affair. So she just pulled all his like really expensive suits out of the closet and piles it into his Mercedes, convertible Mercedes or whatever it was, and just sets the bitch on fire.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, you know, you're going to learn to keep your dick in your pants, mate.
There you go.
You know? That's what happens.
Yeah, yep.
Abe Lincoln, right?
What about Abe
bought
Lincoln?
50 cents worth of cocaine in 1860.
Really?
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I bet you that was a big stash back then.
I bet it was, yeah.
So Abe
Abe Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah, another president that likes to get high.
Yes. Cocaine sure seems to be in the family here in America.
Certainly is.
Yeah. Wasn't Freud taking using cocaine too?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was using cocaine and everything else.
And psychedelics and whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, LSD. You know, the CIA uses LSD as a form of figuring out the vulnerability of other CIA agents.
Well, I know that they did experiments with LSD on people in the 60s and 70s.
Yes.
But under
psychological care.
Right,
You know, in institutions.
Well, they
and
were
so
trying
on.
To see if they can get people to confess to things and interrogation techniques and so forth.
Oh, well, no, this is within the CIA. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's still being used in the CIA to this day.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, and particularly if a new CIA agent comes on board, so to speak, you know, they need to, it's like, it's, I wouldn't say initiation, but I think it's like one to give you an experience of what the drug is, what it, you know, stuff, and then also figure out your vulnerability. You know, like whether you're the person or not, whether you are capable of exposing information and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Very so that's what happens.
Yeah. That's our government for you.
Isn't it? But hey.
Yeah. So what's going on with Hillary and Obama? Any developments
you know what?
You heard of?
If they keep on attacking each other, they're going to fuck each other up.
Yeah. Well, that's what politicians do.
And McCain's going to take it.
Yeah, that's what politicians do. They're fucking stupid. And they behave like children.
None of them won't take the second seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, when you're running for president to say, oh, yeah, I would settle for vice president, is not a smart thing to do.
No, but do you have to really attack each other all the time?
No, I mean, the attacking is a different thing altogether. But, yeah, I mean, that creates a problem because if they do develop a joint ticket letter... They're already saying
that the people who were there's something like I think it was like 23% or 26% of Obama supporters or you know voters are now starting to swing towards McCain because of you know this bullshit that's going on and something like 19% or something like that of Clinton supporters are also going to McCain because of what Hillary and Obama are doing to each other.
Wow.
They're going like, what the hell?
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Politics is fucking stupid, man. I mean, they
it's
just
becoming
don't...
a joke right now.
Yeah.
In the beginning it was like, okay, let's you know, let's see something of that. I think it's being carried out way too freaking long.
Yeah. I think we've left politics for politicians, and that's not a good thing.
No. You know? No,
politicians
not at all.
Should not be in politics. Yeah.
But I remember seeing something on Hillary yesterday, or was it the day before? And she's still talking about Reverend Wright situation.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Well, yeah, it's good to hang on to that, I suppose, you know. But Obama said that if the minister hadn't quit, then he would have left the church.
Yeah.
Obama would have.
Well, of course.
But, of course, what else is he going to say?
Yeah.
You know. But he was there for years, and I'm sure he heard similar things, and he stayed. So, I don't know. I have a problem with that one. You know, people that actually go and listen to these evangelists that are full of hatred and they just look to divide and conquer. You know,
that's how white men ruled the world. Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we have a guest coming in shortly. But there's one thing I wanted to go over here with you that's pretty interesting. It was on it's on sleep. Let me just find it real quick.
Oh, everyone has an issue with sleep.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, and these are some interesting facts about sleep. It says, and this is for you, Manu, the higher your IQ, the more you dream.
Woohoo, so I dream all the time.
You dream a lot, right? But I think for you, it's like it doesn't apply to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did a I did a night.
You let it pass right by you, huh?
What, because I don't sleep?
No, because your IQ is not that high.
Oh, I don't know.
You see?
Oh, but I did a test.
I was waiting for a comeback, but.
Oh, no. Okay. And I did, because I never really heard of this IQ stuff until I came here to the States.
Really?
And I had to do a test, you know what I mean, for a residency. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And it tested me. They tested me, and I had like 100 and it was like 30-something, 38 or 36, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
138, 136.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, apparently it's extremely high.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, you seem pretty smart to me. And if you dream, then you must be smart.
I have the best dreams, man. I'm rocking and rolling.
Yeah, you remember them, huh? I don't remember many of my dreams, but, you know. If you're an average sleeper, you'll roll over 12 times in bed at night. Yeah.
I can tell you I do more than that.
Yeah, I mean, and then my wife wonders why I'm wandering over to her side of the bed. I keep rolling over.
One direction.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she gets really upset because I take up half of her half.
I end up sleeping diagonal on my bed.
Yeah, that's what she says I do. Sleep diagonal, you know. Isn't that true? But you have your own bed. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I like it that way. I don't like to be cramped up. But you know, by the time, like in the middle of the night, I swear I have one cat that's like sleeping on this arm. That's usually Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Then I have another cat that's usually sleeping in front of my belly or behind my back. That's usually Egypt underneath the covers.
Uh-huh.
So I have a little furry thing up against me.
Manu, it's gross to sleep with furry creatures.
I know.
Okay?
Well, you know. And then I have another cat that's sleeping on top of my legs or in between my legs.
Yeah.
Above the blankets. And that's Cairo.
You know what I'm surprised is you come into work every day dressed and you don't have animal hair on you, you know?
No, because I am very unusual. Freaking anal about cat hair. I find it appalling.
But let's say you're dressed and you're ready to go and you want to hold your cat. It'll leave some hair on you.
I don't do that.
You don't?
No, if I'm dressed and I'm going out somewhere, like, stay away from me. No, but then, I mean, seriously, every, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm washing my cats. I've got a couple of cat brushes. I'm, like, brushing those bastards all the time. Seriously. And they get their baths.
Wow.
Not too many people bath their cats.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and I vacuum, like, every 2 days.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm not just vacuuming the floor. I'm vacuuming freaking covers. I'm wiping down everything, seats, you name it.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm very anal about it.
Yeah.
Very, very anal.
How long do you think it takes an average person to fall asleep?
Say 15 minutes?
Actually, 7.
Oh.
7 minutes. I think for me it takes less than that. You know, I think 2 minutes, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah. I turn on my side and
boom, gone.
I'm out.
Wow.
I'm out like a light.
God, I wish I could say that.
Really? So for you, it takes a while, right?
Yeah.
You need to count sheep and all that kind of shit.
Meh. Lola.
Well, we better go check to see if our guest has arrived.
Yeah.
So, Manu will take a little break and you're going to check for us, right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be right. Okay, and we are back. And I guess no guest.
We are.
Yeah, and some people actually decide to play games with us, and that kind of sucks, really. But,
well, again, I just told Israel, our infamous doorkeeper.
Receptionist.
Just to send her back if she shows up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you wish to call us, the number is 818-602-4498. And this is Sam and Manu. It's a Friday morning, and we're ready for a cool weekend. And I don't know. I want to do something. I really do. But, you know, all I got is
weekend,
work.
This weekend, Tiger is holding a fundraiser at the Somsies Studio in Eagle Rock this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a Saturday night. That's on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, because I have Monday off, I think we're going to go and try and head out to some hot springs.
Hot springs?
Yeah, some hot springs. I can't remember the name of the hot springs.
Mm.
But it's a place that I've been wanting to, dying to go to.
What is it, outdoors and stuff?
Hot springs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's natural hot springs up in the mountains.
But some people actually like build a structure around it, you know?
No, this is all natural.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm. There's like some areas which are really, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some phenomenal, I don't know, they call it the crab pit or the crab pot because it's so hot.
Really?
You know? And then other parts is like really cold. So you can go hot, cold, medium, whatever.
Yeah.
But apparently there's some naked people running around there too. It's like maybe we might stay away from that area.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is. It's always the fat, ugly ones that want to be naked. You know what I mean?
Manu wants some beefcake.
Yeah. Gross.
So let's continue with the sleep facts. I find this fascinating. Did you know that 1 in 10 children sleepwalks?
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting, huh? Have you ever seen anybody sleepwalk?
No, I haven't.
I mean, only in movies, obviously, but it's funny. You know, it looks funny.
Have you seen anybody?
No.
Neither have I.
You know, when you look at movies. So I never thought anybody really sleepwalks. I mean, what the hell is that? You know?
I don't know.
Where are you going? And how can you go when you're half asleep? You know?
And then they say that you can't wake them up while they're sleepwalking, because it could cause to have a heart attack or something.
Yeah.
Or some bullshit.
Some friggin' stories, you know. Nobody can believe this shit anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, doctors say that babies dream in the womb.
Wow.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I guess they already have brain activity when they're still in there, you know?
Yeah.
And but they're probably thinking...
But what are they dreaming?
Well, like, I'm going to exit that vagina eventually. Give me that birth canal.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Like, what's all this muck?
Yeah, but you wonder what they're dreaming about. That's true.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not like they have shit happening to them during the day, you know.
Have you ever wondered what animals...
And how can they know? I mean, how can the fuck doctors know that babies dream in the womb?
I have no idea.
It's probably, well, maybe they use like CAT scans and shit like they use on people, but they use it on, you know, on the stomach and the fetus inside.
I don't know. That seems a little bizarre to me.
Yeah. But I don't know how people find out about this shit.
Have you ever wondered what animals dream about?
Mm.
You see them like sleeping there and they're twitching away.
Yeah,
and
especially dogs and cats.
You know, and it's something like a... I've watched my cat like really seriously like watching him.
Really?
And he's twitching away and he's like doing a couple of them like...
Eyes look funny because they
roll
back.
And I'm
going
like, what the hell are you dreaming about? You know what I mean? You're trying to catch something in your dream or...
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have insomnia? I guess your answer would be yes. Some experts suggest wearing mittens and socks to bed.
Oh, no.
No?
No clothing on me. Absolutely
Even
not.
Even no mittens and socks?
Nope, I can't handle it.
No?
No. I cannot even wear socks to bed.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I could never wear socks to bed.
I feel constricted. I feel like, what is going on? Let me free.
Plus, you got to let your feet breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's weird.
Yeah.
I might give it a shot just out of curiosity, but I doubt it. I doubt it's going to last.
Yeah. There are more than 300 patents on anti-snoring devices. Anti-snoring devices. Now, I don't know about that, you know. I get, you know,
well,
what I get?
Obviously, none of them work.
Yeah, no, obviously, yeah, because people keep... I got this thing called Breathe Right or something. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, I've heard of
it's,
that one.
Yeah, it's those things you put on your nose, like a, yeah. It looks like a Band-Aid.
But and that's not where you're snoring from.
Right, exactly, but it does help you breathe. So you're hoping that you won't open your mouth when you're sleeping, and then you won't snore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the snoring comes from the tongue going back in
your mouth. No, what it is, what I think... If I'm correct, what it is that as you age, you uh-huh. become a worse snorer. And that's because there's some skin or flap or something like that in the back of your throat.
Right.
Becomes too lax.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, which actually makes me bring it onto a different subject yeah. as well.
It's that thing, it has a little name, that thing that hangs from the top?
No, it's not that. Oh, it's okay. not that at all, actually. It's some sort of flap, in the back of your throat,
right?
And what happens, it becomes too loose. You know, the older you get, the looser it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you do open up your mouth and you're breathing through your mouth, and sometimes that happens because, yeah. you know, everything's all laxed.
Right.
And it starts to vibrate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you're getting your snoring
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible, but apparently I snore quite a bit.
Yeah.
My wife's not happy about that.
No,
I told
no.
her, go sleep on the couch in the living room. What do you want
from me?
But
you wonder
me?
Why women don't snore as much? Have you ever wondered that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my
okay,
theory.
Okay, so tell me. Oh, you have a theory. It's not a fact or
no,
anything.
No, it's not a fact, but I think it's just the theory.
Okay.
Because... All right.
Here are your theories.
This is my theory. So... My theory is women don't snore. Well, let's say a majority of women don't snore. You will probably find that ones who don't snore are the ones who are giving blowjobs.
Really?
Because when you think about it, right?
If I don't know how the fuck you're going to prove that.
Okay. So, no, neither do I. Neither do I. Okay. I'm going from
so
example.
So how did you get the theory in the first place?
Because... Because when you are giving a blowjob, you're using all these extra muscles in the back of your throat and your tongue and everything like that, you know, giving someone a blowjob.
Yeah.
So you're keeping all those muscles, tongue and everything in the back of your throat all tight and firm.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're less likely to snore.
I don't think so. But you know what?
It sounds
okay,
great.
It sounds as good as anything.
Yeah. And then also, we're less likely to get double chins.
Yeah. Okay, well, women start giving blowjobs and you'll snore less.
You'll snore less.
According to Manu.
And
what about if you swallow? Do you snore even less than that?
I don't know.
You just gargle. You go...
And then, of course, you won't get double chins.
Yeah.
There
oh,
you
no
have
double
it.
Chins.
No double chins. Yeah,
really?
Because you're exercising your jaws. And your tongue.
Manu, you and your fucking theories. I'm not buying any of that shit.
I don't know. It sounds like fun. Hey, it'll give a man an excuse. They're like, darling, you know, seriously, if you give me more head jobs, then you won't get a double chin.
Yeah.
And then you won't snore. I don't snore.
Yeah. That's what you think. Because nobody ever told you. Yeah.
No, I've been told. I don't snore.
Wow. Look at this. Quitting smoking can reduce the amount of sleep you need each night by as much as an hour. Wow.
Meaning that if
so
you don't
smoke...
So I
need an extra hour of sleep because I smoke cigarettes. That's what it is.
Wow, is that what it's saying?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Huh.
So that's... I don't know. Everybody's beaten up on smokers. Leave us alone.
Well...
Only about 5% of people dream in color.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Only 5% of people dream in color.
Now, how the hell are they going to prove that?
Because maybe they ask people afterwards, after they dream?
I don't know.
Yeah. I would imagine if you're dreaming, you know, in a lab or something, they would wake you up in the middle, start asking you questions about your dreams.
Wow, yeah. I dream in color.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know what I dream in. Never thought about it.
Yeah, I dream
Never
in color.
Never thought about what color.
Wow.
So, I don't know how it can be only 5 people. I mean, 5% of the people. But,
that seems kind of like abnormal, if you ask me.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, you can get rid of snoring by going into space. Because they say it's impossible to snore in the weightlessness of space.
Right.
Yeah. So going to space, you won't snore. Might be worth the trip.
Did you know that Marlboro, our you know, tobacco, the very first tobacco owner,
right,
died of lung cancer from cigarette smoking?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're not surprised, are we?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
He must have been smoking those suckers every day.
I know. Well, I wonder when cigarettes started, you know? I mean, not in their present form, but I'm sure people have always been smoking something.
But it wasn't until the 1930s or 40s that women were allowed to smoke.
Yeah.
Before then, they weren't allowed.
I know. It's very, very interesting. Yeah. Those were interesting times, you know?
And it was Sigmund Freud that figured out, right, because he was the consumer specialist, right, psychoanalyst.
Right.
He was the one that figured out how to make it acceptable for women to smoke. So, I think it was the end of World War One, right, the victory of World War One, that he got together a group of women, or a particular woman or something like that, and then, you know, the home party and the big parade, the home welcoming parade, right, and so on. That that's when he allowed them, like had the women go out in public in the parade with a cigarette, you know, the long cigarette, and say peace and victory, kind of like that.
Wow.
And that's when women, like, oh my God, we're allowed to smoke now. We're peace and victory. It was the celebration.
Wow.
And that's how women were allowed to smoke.
Yeah, and look how happy they are about killing themselves.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And they get all old and ugly and leather-faced.
Yeah. Now, when you go to sleep, do you sleep on your back, on your side, on your stomach?
On my side.
On your side?
Usually my left side.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my right side. And it says more than 50% of Americans fall asleep on their sides. So we're normal.
I think that would be anywhere in the world.
Probably. I used to fall asleep lying on my back. But then at a certain point, I stopped being able to sleep. So I would roll on my side and then I'd fall asleep.
See,
I can't sleep.
I can't fall asleep on my back.
Yeah?
I can't stay asleep even on my back.
Yeah.
It's so I wake up, it's like, oh my God, I'm in pain.
Yeah. I know. And sometimes I wake up and my whole arm is asleep, you know, because
because you sleep on your
side. Yeah. You sleep on your side for hours. You know?
I have a couple of pillows that I cuddle, one between my legs and one in underneath my stomach.
I'm sure you do.
Like a little baby.
For the little vagine and for the boobies.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, my wife does that, but she's doing it with me. So, there.
She spoons you?
We spoon majorly.
Really?
Yeah. Major. Major spoonings and forks and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
amazing.
No, you get used to that. It's hard not to.
Huh.
Yeah. But, that's when we get close is when we go to sleep, you know. And, but you know what the interesting thing is that we try to do?
You spoon her or she spoons you?
She spoons me.
Really?
Yeah, because I got to fall asleep on my side, you know, so.
So she cuddles up behind you.
But before that, she lies on my shoulder, like right here, you know, with her head and stuff, so. So it's a whole, it's a whole ritual thing to go to sleep.
Wow.
But but the nice thing is that we always go to bed together, you know. It's not like that type of a thing where you have a TV in your room and one goes to sleep after the other or people are not close. We always make it a point. We always make it a point to
go to bed together.
That's
good. That's awesome.
You wouldn't like that, huh?
No. I would love to go to bed together.
Yeah. So what did you say?
That would be my thing.
Okay.
But no, I was talking about people who have televisions in their TV bedrooms.
I know.
I think that's appalling.
I know. That's stupid. That's fucking stupid.
Like we really need it?
Yeah.
Do we really need that ridiculous thing of bullshit? You know, and the flicker? Have you ever, I don't know, has anyone really, paid attention to, you know, like driving through neighborhoods or something like that or looking into other buildings? And they've got their living rooms kind of like dark and so on.
Yeah.
Or even just like dim light. And you can see the flashes, the flickers, and the change. You know what I mean? It's constant. you know, is like strobing lights from the television.
Yeah.
If you're not really staring at it, and we're talking about like viewing it through the windows and so on.
Right.
Now, when you look at it that way, then you get a chance to actually look at it and go like, oh my God. This, you know, can you imagine how much it really affects, you know, your stimulus in your mind and so on?
Yeah.
You notice everything's like flash, 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 flicker, flicker.
Yeah.
It's got to be doing something wrong to your brain.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, another theory of mine.
Yeah. Let's see. The average adult has 4 dreams a night and 1 nightmare a year. Yeah. Did you know that if you go without sleep for 10 days straight, you could die?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is this, is that I think it's already known that after 24 hours or so, you're starting to be a little, tipsy and you start to not be able to concentrate and so forth, you know. And you know how they torture some people with sleep deprivation,
awake,
you know, and that's a terrible thing. I mean, apparently we really need that sleep, you know. And I think it's they say that the brain needs it more than the body, because the body keeps moving while you're sleeping, you know, and your body can probably keep moving for a long time, but it's your brain that needs that rest, you know. I think that's why we feel it in our head, in our eyes, you know, when we're tired, like I am right now, trying to barely keep my eyes open.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's
you know, we could end up with this rare condition of exploding head syndrome.
Exploding head syndrome?
There's actually...
What is that?
There's actually a...
wow.
It's
a
rare condition.
Can you imagine your head exploding?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Now, how would your head explode? Does it explain
I have
that?
No idea. But it actually has happened.
Yeah.
Head's exploding, walking along, poof.
Really?
Head's gone. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Well, maybe it happens to women that swallow, you know? Maybe it does something to the chemicals.
Maybe this happens to someone who never sleeps.
Yeah. No, that's not very likely, is it?
I think I might have to research that one.
Yeah.
Exploding head syndrome. That sounds a little crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It
a little
does.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bizarre shit.
Let's take a little break, Manu. Okay?
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Harry Carey here. You know, two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California Dreaming with my favorite Jew in Australia, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Cubs win.
Okay, we're back. And our guest still is not here. But that's okay,
well,
I suppose.
Well, goodbye.
Yeah. So much for that.
Spray tanning for me.
Yeah. I know. Actually, you know what? One of our... did something happen to the sound here? Why am I hearing it? Everything sounds weird to me. I don't know. I guess that flaked out like a few days ago. They're sending me an email back saying they had an accident on the freeway. Now, and they're sorry, but they still want to come. So my question is, did the accident happen when they were on the way here or what? You know, they never explained that. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what, you know. I mean, if you had an accident the day before and you can't make it, or even if you're on the way, they had a chance to call and say, we apologize, you know, let's reschedule some. But to come back a week later, you know, it's just...
A week later?
I think so, yeah. It's like a couple days at least.
Maybe it might have been serious. I reckon if I was involved in an accident...
you wouldn't come to the radio station?
The last thing I'd be thinking of is trying to show up to a radio show. I don't know.
Well, I guess we don't get any respect yet, Manu, but we will one day. And we'll beat them up when they don't show up.
I know. Wouldn't it be so screwed, eh? I kind of like think this sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone expects you to be at work a certain time, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Now, what if, I mean, if you were in an accident and you were seriously freaking injured, right?
Mm.
Meanwhile, at work, they're all pissed at you and they're wondering
right.
why you're not answering or something or other. Now, this has actually happened, believe it or not.
Really?
I remember working at the Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And this girl was one of their hostess, a hostess, and she didn't show up. Now, previous to that, she didn't quite have a great record,
mm-hmm.
you know, as such.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, I don't feel too well, and all the kind of crap that you put
yeah,
up
so
with.
Yeah, so they're already accustomed to her not showing up and giving excuses.
Well, you know, like being late or something like that.
Right.
So this one day, she doesn't show up. It's like, okay, well, then I'll give her a call, find out where she is. There's no answer on the phone. So I was like, okay, well, then I called a little bit later. Please, can you give us a call, you know, just to let us know, you know, why you didn't show up today, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so second day comes along, the same thing. Third day comes along, same thing. In the meantime, my boss is saying, okay, that's it. She's fired, fuck her, and all this kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
You know, I was like, I'm tired of flaky people, all this kind of... Turns out that she was actually in an accident and she was in a coma.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't until like 3 weeks later. Right. She shows up to work.
Really?
Right? She was just like a brief coma, I suppose, mm-hmm. or something that obviously pretty traumatic.
Right.
And or unconscious more than anything, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Could you consider that? Well, whatever.
Yeah.
She shows up and she's like, I'm really sorry. You know, I was in an accident. And everything like that. And they, well, we fired you. But I was in an accident. It wasn't my fault. Like, well, then why didn't you have your roommate at least give us a call to let us know
right.
that you were in an accident?
Yeah. I know. Well,
I mean, like, come on.
Yeah. I know. Well, I guess her mind was somewhere else. But I mean, still, you know, people expected you to show up at work, you know.
I know, but 3 weeks later she shows up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I was in an accident. Like, we fired you, man. We replaced you.
Really? So you didn't take her back?
No, we didn't end up taking her back.
Really?
No.
But why? I mean, it wasn't her fault, you know.
No, it wasn't, but still,
yeah.
like we've got one, we have to fill a spot.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we meant to be like, what, you know, I mean, we're figuring that she doesn't want to work there anymore.
Yeah, she probably just decided not to come anymore. Yeah.
But you know what? She didn't need to work there anyway. It was a lousy place. It was a lousy, lousy place to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it.
Hmm.
God damn.
Hmm. Tell me something. Have you ever had a threesome with two men?
No.
You never have?
No.
With another woman?
No.
No.
No so, threesomes in my life.
No. No orgies, no nothing.
No.
Just one-on-one, pretty much.
One-on-one.
Really?
Yeah.
How boring.
Aww.
No, let me ask you this now. If you had three men doing you.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
You wouldn't like that?
No, hell no.
Really?
Yeah. Ew.
What about two?
No.
No?
No.
One in the mouth, one downstairs? No.
No.
Wow.
I'll leave that up to the porn stars and the whores.
Yeah. You're pretty uptight about sex.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people...
But you don't come across as that.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people think that, like, wow, you must be kind of like...
Yeah,
you
very
know,
sexual.
You're sexual. You know, you have such as...
But you
sexuality.
Are. You have a sexual mind, you know?
Know?
But
yeah, I am uptight.
Yeah, you have inhibitions and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
All a result of childhood, I'm sure.
Childhood, this happening, that happening.
Adolescence.
Yeah.
I know, that's terrible. You see, that's another thing you need to, I think, to work through. Because you're missing out on a lot, you know. not that I'm saying you need to be in bed with two men or something. But no, I mean, it would liberate you in many ways, you know.
Yeah, possibly.
And
I don't know.
You probably feel a lot better about it. You know, I mean, I'm surprised you're still able to orgasm and actually enjoy it. You know,
even though
you don't
go,
you don't go gaga about it. But
no, I don't.
Yeah,
I still want to find that goddamn G spot, though.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we need to explore. We'll get an explorer too. You know, maybe we should bring like a bed with stirrups here. You know, and I'll examine you.
No, actually, you know, I was thinking about that dildo You know, the one with the curve.
The vibrator with the curve.
No, just one with the curve.
Right.
Right?
But it's a vibrator.
No, but I don't want the vibrator.
You don't want the vibrator
part.
Okay, turn on the...
But I want the one with the curve, because maybe it's that I need to figure it out. I don't know.
Maybe. But, if you try to touch it with your fingers and nothing happens, I don't know how that would help. No. But you can try. How about if I get you one for your birthday?
That would be really weird,
yeah,
Sam.
That's too long out there. But I will. I don't have a problem. I'll buy you one.
You know how much those bastards are, though? Then?
I don't care. You know? For your pleasure, anything. Man.
You know, for that little finger vibrator that I have?
Uh-huh.
One specifically for the clitoris.
Right.
That piece of thing there cost me $60. I'm like, $60 for this?
But
are
you bought
serious?
It.
Are you serious? Yeah, I did buy it. Because I really wanted to, you know,
really?
Play with it.
So how did you decide on that one? Did someone recommend it?
No, I remember going into the sex shop and I don't want a dildo or a vibrator as such, you know what I mean?
Right.
A penis vibrator.
Right.
And I wanted something that I could bring to the bed.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with a sexual, you know, with a partner.
Right.
But I wanted something that wasn't going to be so crude or, you know, because I am a little uptight.
Or noisy. Is it pretty noisy?
No,
you don't hear it?
It's a silent
I know, that's
little
the thing
pee.
About fucking, you know, those vibrators, they sound like lawnmowers, you know? And it totally fucking fucks up the mood, you know?
No, it totally does. You're like, and I'll be like, all right, that was a turn off. I mean, certainly, even when I did have a vibrator and I used to turn it on, I'd be like, that sounds corny, man.
I know. It definitely, you know, screws up the mood. I mean, you know, you hear this noise there, and it sounds like you're drilling something.
So anyway.
Yeah, somebody's got to come out with a silent vibrator. I don't know if they have
it. But it was this cute little thing. It had its own little package, you know, like a little pocket, black pocket thing.
Uh-huh.
And it had a couple of little attachments for different feels. And it just slips on your finger. It's this is kind of...
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go through my parents' stuff, through their drawers and stuff. And I found this little catalog from an erotic shop.
Right.
You know? So it has everything. I mean, every kind of rubber you could think of, you know, like French tickler and this and that.
I didn't
know anything about this, but I'm going why are people using these weird looking things, you know? And,
Did you know what they were, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess I figured, yeah. I mean, I told you, I developed quickly, rather early sexually. But I still was discovering new things all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so that would turn me on. And then there was another thing that I found there, like a Kama Sutra book, you know. But it's sort of like an Indian book about... positions and shit, sex positions.
I know. Have you seen?
So they have all kinds of names for them, you know, like animal names and shit like that, you know. And I remember going through that, and I would read it, and that was like a big fucking turn on, you know, because it's like totally male oriented. It's like take the woman, place her here, put a pillow underneath her, you know. It's as though you're the one that's doing all the work, you know, as though she's just an object, you know.
Wow.
And so, yeah, but it was a turn-on nevertheless, you know.
I remember, reading my first Kama Sutra or flipping through, and I'm, seeing the pictures. I'm like, hang on, no. It was this store up in Seattle, and it was, a cards rack or something like that, or books or something like that. And I'm, going through everything, and I'm going, hang on. This is sex positions. And so, of course, ooh, okay, Kama Sutra. So, anyways, I picked up the book, you know, one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking through, and there's all these pictures of, you know, with the turbans and everything like that. You know what I mean?
I know, those illustrations, right?
Yeah, the illustrations. Yeah,
I know.
And, of course, the Indian guys certainly got, you know, a foot-long penis or something like that.
I know, especially the Japanese with their art.
Yeah.
They have huge penises, you know.
Huge, yeah.
So you can
tell. To compensate for little peepees.
Wishful thinking there.
And then they have the vaginas looking really huge as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's so you can see
I mean, like, and then they have the penis like half in, half out.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've seen
that. It's always like half
those
in, half out.
Those are pretty good turn on, you know. I mean, even though they're illustrations, they're still like a turn on.
Like that magazine.
Which
the,
one?
The, that comic book.
Well,
that
one you brought is modern stuff.
Housewives.
You know?
Wow. The,
yeah.
That, I still can't get over that.
I know. Well, we lost a guest thanks to it.
So. She didn't need to be here anyway.
Fun. Yeah, that was worth it. That was worth it. It was a good comic book showing everything pretty much.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, well, the phones are quiet today, Manu. I don't know where everybody is, but nobody's calling.
No. And not even Doug.
No. Well, Doug's busy moving.
Yeah.
You know. And, when you plan on a guest being here, you know, then you don't really plan on doing anything else. And then they don't show up and you're like, well, what the fuck are we going to do next, you know?
Yeah.
And so that sucks. Yeah, that really sucks, you know. And should we finish early today?
What do you think? I don't know. Oh, hang on. We do have a who are we having coming in?
Dr. Michelle.
Dr. Michelle,
at
right?
11, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go home or anything. But we seem to be out of things to say. I mean,
in Iraq,
the situation is really getting worse, you know?
Oh, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they've got, like, fighting and Basra and shit. Did you know, by the way, that my mom is from Basra?
No, I
didn't.
Yeah,
she's from Iraq, yeah.
Really?
Because, you know, I mean, Jews were, like, all over the world and stuff. So they were actually pretty rich, you know? She immigrated to Israel in the 1940s. And she was a teenager at the time. But apparently they were very rich in Iraq, you know. But then there's a lot of, like, anti-Semitism in that. So what they would do is they would send Israeli agents and smuggle these people at night, outside of their homes, and take them to Israel.
Hang on. You mean, like, kidnapping?
No, not kidnapping.
Okay.
I mean, they would help them escape because there was a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment in Iraq during those times.
Oh,
so they were helping them escape. But
wow.
The problem is they left all that wealth behind them, you know? So here you are, you know, leaving everything you have, and you come to a new country. They had to live in, like, fucking tents and shit. And, you know, all in the name of finding a safe place, you know? And that's why Israel is so important, you know, because there's a place for the Jews to go.
Yeah.
You know, when there's when the hatreds start inflaming again and stuff, you know. So that was that. So that's where my mom's from, yeah, which is kind of weird, you know. Because, I mean, we never even heard of that little town until the war began in 91.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Basra this, Basra that. So it's like, okay, you know.
Wow.
So they're having a lot of heavy fighting going on there. And, you know, I just... I just don't understand how much longer are we going to stay there, you know, but what I'm really curious about is if you do indeed see Obama or Hillary, how long it would take them to get our troops out of there?
I don't know.
You know?
Has there been any talk about that?
I mean, yeah, everybody's talking about it, you know, and then Obama said the war would be over within several months or something, and he would pull everybody out, and I don't know. What are those scratches on your hand?
Oh, me just playing with my cat.
Yeah, that's what I figured, the cats.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I play with them.
Hair
and scratches. I play with the pussies.
And, yeah. But maybe you should declaw them or something?
No, that's so damn cruel.
It's not cruel.
It is cruel,
Why?
Sam.
Why?
Because they actually amputate the first knuckle of the animal.
No, they don't.
No, yes, they do.
They do?
Yes, they do. That is why it's illegal in California and up in Seattle.
Well, they can't just cut off their
It's
nails?
Amputation. No, it's amputation.
Oh, so, but maybe they do that so it doesn't grow again, but you can...
That's what declawing is.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess I just meant like...
Snipping them?
Yeah, just snip
them.
Oh,
yeah, no. I do snip their nails.
Okay.
You know, like with a proper clippers.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I hold their feet and their claws come out and go snip, 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 snip.
Yeah.
And they go like, oh, now we can't bloody...
We can't
climb the trees now or catch a bird or scratch Manu.
Yeah, scratch Manu. There you go.
But I don't declaw Cairo specifically because she does roam. I mean, she mm-hmm. she's just a wild cat. She's an African jungle.
Right.
She's very, very different. So I don't snip her nails because I don't know what kind of situation she
so
finds herself
in. So you noticed that
in.
Her behavior is different from the other cats?
Oh, completely.
Really?
Way different.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
How do you explain that?
I have no idea.
Mm.
But she's like a dog. She really is.
Wow.
Yeah. She just goes off on her own little merry way.
Mm-hmm.
Goes and visits everybody else in the complex or yeah. neighboring apartments.
Mm-hmm.
She goes up in the hills. I mean, like a weird, weird cat.
Yeah.
And I go out and I, you know, give a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes running back.
Really? That's yep. nice.
And just, like, literally just pounds back. I mean, she's
really?
Like, yeah.
Boy. Nice.
And she'll follow me up and down wherever I go. Like, if I went for a walk, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've done this. She follows me all the way behind.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, just like a dog.
Wow. Well, put her on a fucking leash then.
Ah. Her attitude changes.
Yeah, she doesn't like that.
I could have trained her if I really wanted to, but
yeah.
no.
No, you don't need a leash. I mean,
no.
The problem with dogs is that they start fighting with each other. That's why you put them on a leash, you know? And but
you
cats
know,
don't do that. You
but
know?
The problem with her, too, she thinks she is a dog, and she sees a dog, and she runs up to the dog like as if to say, hey, hi, who are you?
Really?
I'm serious.
She's not afraid of anything.
She is not afraid of freaking dogs. She's curious.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting
and
cat.
And some dogs are like, look at her, go like, what the hell are you? You know, they like look at her stare, and you know the heads are pulled back
uh-huh.
because they're expecting her to like lash out at him, and,
yeah.
and she rolls on her back and exposes her belly.
Wow!
Like in front of these dogs.
Yeah. Isn't that like a position that they take to show surrender?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's
wow.
true. So yeah, she's definitely a different cat, even in her nature, the way she stands.
Mm-hmm.
Even her meow, like her meow
yeah.
is mm-hmm. not a normal meow.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little bizarre. Yeah.
Hmm.
Like when she's just like talking to you,
mm-hmm.
there's barely a sound comes out. But if you walk around the corner and she can't see you or she starts to look for you,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes a howl, like a growling howl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really weird. Like,
wow.
When I first heard it, I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. How much do you think you spend in cat food every week?
Well, actually, every month.
Because isn't it
every
like
month?
Expensive?
Well, I have prescription food.
Oh.
Because of Thomas.
Okay.
I'll pay about $32 for a 10-pound bag.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's not.
And
too
a little
bad.
Bit of extra for a couple of dry tin foods.
Yeah.
That's it. A month.
Yeah, so that's a bag of dry food. I mean, obviously the moist food costs a lot more.
Maybe a little
I
bit.
I mean, those
more.
Cans
but
probably are like a dollar each or something, right?
The cans that I have to get, they're about $1.50 each
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, that can get pretty expensive.
But I only buy like four of them,
yeah.
four to six of them.
For a month.
For a month.
Okay.
Yep. That's it.
Mm. That's
that
not
cool?
too bad. That's not too bad.
No, it's not bad
yeah.
at all.
But you know what I don't understand is when an animal gets sick and then you have to take him to the vet and it costs you thousands of dollars, definitely a lot more than the animal costs you, you know, and having to spend all that and then the animal dies, you know, it's like, what a shame, you know.
I've had that happen to me.
Yeah. I know, you're trying to save the animal, you know, you spend all this money on the doctor, on the vet.
You know you have pet insurance now.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Like health insurance for pets?
Yeah.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Well, that makes sense. Makes sense.
Never even heard of that shit
yeah.
until I came here. Like,
and
what?
Next time you take a cat from the store or something, it's like, you know, I expect.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? Check this out. If the cat has a pre-existing
mm-hmm.
disease or injury.
Can you imagine, like, the cat saying, I expect health insurance when I come to live with you.
Right? But seriously, if your cat has a pre-existing health risk or whatever,
uh-huh.
you can't get insurance.
No,
for
you
your
have
cat.
To disclose.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, man. They're going to take out life insurance on animals soon. Then what's going to happen?
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I would not be surprised. I bet you it's being done.
No, I don't think people are going
to. Come on.
No, what insurance company is going to do that, you know?
Because there's some loopy because freaking chances, people out there.
But the chances of an animal dying, I think, is higher than humans dying, you know? So,
yeah.
So they'd be exposed.
Like what? What? He was only what, 15 years old?
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I know, I know. But it's hard with animals. You know what I mean? They die, and it really, like, you know, they get sick. I remember my kids had like a one of their cats, and one day she just started like limping and stuff, you know, and walking funny and not moving or anything. And then we found out she was very sick, you know.
Wow.
And she was like walking sideways, you know. I mean,
wow,
it was
really?
Like weird. Yeah, it was really weird, but so sad to see that. So we had to put her to sleep, but,
yeah,
you know, it's like so sad and so difficult. I mean, I didn't like the cat, but I still felt bad, you know?
I think everyone should. Yeah. Animals teach you a lesson. Animals teach you compassion.
Yeah.
Animals teach you selflessness.
Mm. Yeah.
I think. Any animal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they add a lot of joy and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they do.
And it's only the people that fuck up everything, you know?
Damn right.
Yeah.
Damn right. So, anyways. Well, he's another solution for divorcing couples.
Okay, let's hear
it. All right?
It. Uh-huh.
All right, so this is a story of one man that actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's hear it.
All right, so the couple were driving along the lone road, and his wife looks over to her husband and says, like, I want a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband kind of, like, stayed concentrated on the road, and she continues to go on saying, like, I've been cheating on you with your best friend, and we're in love, and we want to get married, and I'm also pregnant with his child.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So she's still not getting any response from him. And then she says, you know, I expect to get the house. I want the kids,
mm-hmm.
custody of the kids,
right,
you know,
right.
and everything mm-hmm. like that. So, and in the meantime, I guess he's just like picking up speed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the story. So he picks up speed. And so later, he's apparently the speed of the crash was around 90 miles per hour. He's still gaining. His wife looks at him and asks, well, so, you know, oh, wait, did you want anything? And the husband smiled and looks over and says, no, honey, I've got everything that I need.
Oh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, the airbag is on my side. So there's your solution.
Yeah.
Kill the bitch.
Yeah. This reminds me of a joke. This man and woman, this married couple are driving in the car, and she finds out that he's been having an affair.
Right.
So she pulls out a knife from her purse and cuts off his dick and throws it out the window.
Whoa.
In the meantime,
how did she get into the pants to cut it off?
I don't know. It's a joke, Manu.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Okay.
So she cuts off his penis and throws it out the window. In the meantime, behind them, there's another car riding about half a mile back. And there's a man and his little girl driving there. And suddenly the dick hits the windshield, you know. And the girl jumps and she goes, what was it? He says, oh, man, it's just probably just a big bug or something. So she goes, man, that bug sure had a big cock.
Ah! Okay. So the little girl knew what it was.
Yeah, so she knew what it was. It was a penis flying into the windshield.
What about Mrs. Bobbit?
Yeah, that remember that kinda, one, yeah.
Did you know he tried to make porn after that?
Oh, yeah. He actually did porn after that.
Really?
Yeah, he was coming on Howard Stern all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I think I remember that.
Yeah, but he's a has-been. Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
But that was some story, you know?
Wasn't it?
I mean, it takes some fucking balls to cut off a penis, you know?
It does,
shit,
huh?
Shit, man.
God.
Can you imagine just the visual, man, is enough to kill you.
Damn.
Okay, well, anyway, our show has been this kind of a thing today.
You know what? It's Friday, okay?
Yeah, it's Friday. We've been very slow. If you're only joining us now, consider yourself fortunate because this show has been moving very slowly today. But but it is over. Oh, you want to give us one poop story real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the segment.
With your poo book.
He's a segment for the show. What's your poo telling you?
Okay. So what's my poo telling
you
today?
But you know what? I think we've all been through this one. Mm-hmm. Actually, we've all been through all of these, but this one in particular, I'm sure we've all been there.
Yeah.
You tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay. I will, Manu.
I know. So you may wonder, how did something that large come out of me while sitting on the toilet and vigorously straining to discharge a poo of this size? You feel like the turd took a wrong turn in the intestines and is attempting to come out sideways. So you may feel the swelling of your veins in your forehead, which I can totally visualize with you, Sam. And the beating of perspiration as you toil to force this mass of poo out of your system. Now, despite the strain, this internal bodily struggle with continue until the last of the turd exists. And after discharging this double deuce, it is not uncommon to feel as though you have just lost 5 pounds. I think I'm that like. For a quick second, you may consider summoning your friends to witness firsthand the greatness of your feet. I've actually been there like, oh my God, where did that all come from?
I know, like delivering a baby. There's my little package.
Despite the fact that these poos are not always the easiest discharge, there is a great feeling of accomplishment and pride associated with the deposit of the monster poo.
Yeah.
In addition to its massive girth, like we really need that, right? Monster poo's most characteristic feature, its tendency to extend beyond the water surface. Well, yeah, I can see that happening. And you may even fear flushing it without first using, I don't know about this, the toilet brush to break it up into smaller pieces.
Oh, my God. Do we really need to get into those details? Manu, thank you very much. We appreciate that. You really added to our show.
I know, but it brings me to the story that I've witnessed one of these monster twos, turds.
Uh-huh.
When I was in the military, mm-hmm. you know, it was our job, you know, you have to clean the bathrooms, right? Mm. And I go to clean the freaking bathrooms, and I swear I've never seen a turd this goddamn size ever in my life. To the point that I was actually, like, calling everybody, like, you've got to check this out. This is the biggest shit I've ever seen in my life.
A monstrous pile there.
It could not go down the loo. Wow. We had to break it up.
Wow. How
that
fun,
was the most
Manu.
Nastiest stuff.
That sounds like fucking fun to me. All right.
Ow.
Oh, what'd you do to yourself?
I just slammed my fingers in the
drawer.
Oh,
man. You're hurting yourself big time. Such a klutz, Manu. We need to put a straitjacket on you so then you won't move much.
This has been my whole life, okay?
Oh, wow. No, you get bruises all over. Anyway, it's Friday. It's the end of our show. Thank you, Manu.
Yeah.
Coming up is
Dr. Michelle.
Dr. Michelle at 11 with another exciting show. And remember, TJ is not going to be in at 12, so we're going to have a replay of the show. 2 o'clock is Johnny Dam and Roe with the Damage Report. At 4 o'clock, of course, it's Amber DeLon with her show. And then it's the weekend. And stay tuned. We've got some new shows. Check out the website. And we've got some great things coming your way. So stay with us. Have a good one. And we'll see you on Monday.